You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. You know, yeah, that means we're closer to June than April. Congratulations, happened over the weekend. Didn't even notice it, did you? No, probably in the midst of all your yard work and home improvement projects, didn't even pull your head up. I know I didn't. Yeah, I did gardening from hell on Saturday and then reenacted it a little bit on Sunday. And then went down the coast with Colleen and Jack and Joe. Yeah. And I even watched ESPN, no, Major League Baseball is rerunning like old classic World Series games in their entirety. And I love that stuff, man. First of all, baseball was different. But you get to see like Sandy Koufax pitching the whole game. That is awesome. And the 65 World Series is the Twins against the Dodgers. And Sandy Koufax pitches a complete game shutout in Game 7. So I watched that a little bit last night. And it was all right, though. But on Saturday, I was fully committed to trimming these bushes I have in my front of my yard, and then turned into a most of the day project. As then you have to take everything that you trim and cut that up into small pieces. Then I had to do the normal edging mowing. So yeah, start at 9, ended at 4:40 in the afternoon. Yeah, and then did a little bit more. Decided that we're going to become farmers of sorts. We're going to plant flowers from seeds. Yeah, I want to plant a lot of them. I'm not much of a flower guy. Certainly not much of a planter guy. I like flowers in my house, though. I didn't used to. I do now. I like the smell. And so I want to plant these flower beds. But, you know, you go to a nursery and you look for like a potted, you know, flower and how much they want. You know, they want too much money, for God's sake. Yeah. And so I got to get into the farming business. Yep. Going to be a farmer. And I don't have a pair of overalls. And so I got to learn how to do, you know, seed planting. Now, they say between 60 and 90 days, you'll have a fully mature, you know, you have a full, you know, flower. That's motivating, man. So, yeah, so I'm all about that. I'm all about that. So, fired up about that. Fired up about that. Some other stuff, though, that caught my attention. Let me tell you what you're going to hear. You're going to hear Alex You're going to hear Alex Hollings today. And we'll check in with Alex. There's a lot of stuff in the news about UFOs. And so when we talk UFOs, he's like Mr. UFO himself. And we'll get his thoughts on the whole COVID-19 event. And blah, 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 blah. So we'll talk about that. Some interesting stuff in the news, though. And I would say, you know, relative to All Marine Radio, the biggest issue that we cover that saw something significant happen over the weekend was Afghanistan. Ghani and Abdullah sign a power-sharing deal. Under the agreement, Abdullah will lead the Council for Peace talks, and members of his team will be included in the cabinet. So that is their power-sharing agreement. And they signed that deal on Sunday, signaling an end of months-long stalemate that plunged the country into political crisis. The breakthrough, which sees Abdullah heading the peace talks with the Taliban, comes as Afghanistan battles a rapid spread of deadly coronavirus amid surging violence that saw dozens killed in brutal attacks last week. Now, all the attacks, mind you, were not by the Taliban. Two of the most publicized attacks, one in a hospital, one of a funeral, were done by ISIS. Ghani said it was a historic day for Afghanistan, and the agreement was reached without any international mediation. Well, let me just tell you, I mean, they've got a gun to their head, literally, in that the Taliban, if they don't get their shit together, there will be no peace deal. And even if they do make a peace deal, I mean, the future of Afghanistan is fraught with peril. So, according to Abdullah, right, we will share the burden on our shoulders, God willing, and it will be lighter. In the days ahead, we hope that with unity and cooperation, we will be able to first pave the ground for a ceasefire and then a lasting peace. Abdullah said the deal commits to forming a more inclusive, accountable, and competent administration. So again, he goes on to say one more thing. It's meant to ensure a path to peace, to improve governance, and protect rights, respect laws, and values. So again, this has been kind of an interesting thing in Afghanistan, watching this. And many believe that this would spell, if they couldn't get their act together, you know, it would spell the end of not only the peace process, but the federal government itself. So we shall see. We shall see. So Ghani still serves as the president of Afghanistan. And that's big news. And especially the president, I think, is getting out of Afghanistan. You know, and we'll probably have an interesting discussion about the residual forces Thursday. What do we expect from an American residual force in Afghanistan? What's that about? What does it do? And once we say we're gone, right? Once we say we're gone, what will there be any tolerance for American casualties in Afghanistan if there's some kind of QRF that's left there? You know, does the advising continue? And does the advising include outside the wire activities? Part of our residual force will be special operations guys. Will we tolerate seeing more pictures of them on the news, killed in action? So some interesting stuff. The other interesting story that we'll ask Alex about is the Air Force, actually the Space Force, which is a subset of the Air Force, right? They launched their X-37 Bravo. On a mission that may change the world. The X-37 Bravo, look it up, is the secretive, unscrewed, reusable space plane lifted off from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. The spacecraft is loaded with a variety of experiments, some for NASA, some from the United States Space Force. One experiment testing the microwave transmission of solar energy captured from space has the potential to change the world. You heard me. Change the world as you know it. That's right. We're talking like internet change and Tupperware change. Yeah, it will change the way we do our shit. So we'll talk to Alex about that. But Space Force, yeah, not only does it got a flag that got unveiled last week, but going up into space and leaving some experiments out there. So that over the weekend, pretty exciting stuff. And then I ran across somebody published something about Viktor Frankl, and here's a headline: "Yes to Life in Spite of Everything: Viktor Frankl's Lost Lectures on Moving Beyond Optimism and Pessimism to Find the Deepest Source of Meaning." Quote: "Everything depends on the individual human being. Regardless of how small a number of like-minded people there is, each person, through action and not mere words, creatively making the meaning of life a reality in his or her own being." Whoa, Mac, that's some deep shit. That's some deep shit for Monday morning. I know. Now, they talk about finding tapes of lectures. And so the article goes on: "As our collective memory always tends towards amnesia and erasure, especially a period scarred by civilizational shame, these existential infusions of sanity and lucid buoyancy," I know this is like heavy shit, right, "fell out of print and were soon forgotten. Eventually rediscovered, as is also the tendency of our collective memory, when the present fails us and we must lean for comfort on the life-tested wisdom of the past. They are now published in English for the first time as Yes to Life, In Spite of Everything." I didn't realize that hadn't been published in English. Yeah, so it's a book called Yes to Life, In Spite of Everything, by Viktor Frankl. And, you know, we're huge fans here on All Marine Radio of Mr. Frankl. And so the on a Monday, and then I got an email from Beverly last night from Saskatchewan. "Good evening, Mac. I've never heard of a Canadian Air Force pilot explain why they risked their life doing flyovers and air shows." Now, this is in the wake of one of the, I think they're called the Snowbirds, Canada's version of the Blue Angels, crashed yesterday. One pilot, a captain, killed, and another, somebody else injured. Now, I didn't read too much about it. I would suspect the response may be similar to the one given by a Thunderbird or a Blue Angel pilot. And then a couple of pictures of them flying over Saskatchewan, where she lives. It's what they do, and it's a very prestigious job, and it's quite the honor for them to represent their country, represent the Canadian Air Force, and kind of display the power of the Canadian military across the nation. So I think it's a huge honor. And although you may see it, you know, I think if maybe we'll get Rudy on for a few minutes this week, you know, those guys work, and they're obviously great, great pilots. And they'll tell you that, you know, most of what they do is optical illusions. There's always offsets. So the way you look at it, right, they're doing something that looks like, oh, whoa, but they're offset not only horizontally, but they're offset vertically too. So, you know, as you see it, it looks much more dangerous than it is. And they feel like they can go ahead and, you know, do what they do pretty safely. But always tragic when you see something, especially done for recreation and people to, you know, to get some enjoyment out of it, and somebody loses their life. I mean, same thing. One of the Blue Angels died, outside of Nashville. And we had Rudy on explaining how that could happen and whatnot. So anyway, good morning to you on a Monday. There's a bunch of stuff in the news today, and we will go ahead and we will take a look at that. As I said, we're going to be joined by I know his name, Alex Hollings, and we're going to talk X-37 Bravo launch, and what is that? We're going to talk about, we'll get his thoughts on the Space Force as a space geek. What does he find exciting about that? We'll talk, get his thoughts on the whole UFO thing, and we'll also get his thoughts about COVID-19. Alex's mom was diagnosed as having it. And then the other thing is that he worked for an organization that got its start by really linking families to recruits. And recruit training is now extended now. They've got to go to 2 weeks of quarantine before they report to Paris Island or San Diego. So has that impacted what they do and how they do it? So we'll talk to him about all that tomorrow. You're going to hear from Dave Galloway, best-selling author of a book entitled We Were Soldiers and Young. And he's prominent in the Ken Burns' documentary. And so you're going to hear, and he's just written another book. And it's a book that has vignettes about Vietnam veterans. And it's a wonderful book. And it's entitled They Were Soldiers, written with a guy named Marvin Wolf. And Joe, I don't know if I said Dave, but Joe Galloway joined us from North Carolina on Friday. And just had a wonderful conversation with him. And about a lot of different things. About, first of all, his career. Being a journalist, much different back then than it is today. The Vietnam War, the Ken Burns documentary, which you're going to hear him talk about, and he's a huge fan of it. So in spite of everything that you've heard about, you know, from different people that have come on the show, you know, here's a guy who's, you know, he's a Vietnam guy through and through. Recipient as a civilian of the Bronze Star with Combat V as a civilian. Yeah, how about that? And been an advocate and a writer about things Vietnam and war his whole life. And you'll hear his very, very high, you'll hear his very, very high praise of the Burns documentary. So so we talk about that, and then we talk about his book, and we talk about, you know, a guy like that watching, you know, the country go down the road of Iraq and Afghanistan and essentially commit the same mistakes that we committed in Vietnam in those places, what that was like for a guy like him who covered it so intimately. And then I think you're going to hear Mike Etor this week join us for another one of his leadership things. Mike has written a book called Trust-Based Leadership. And Mike's going to get into the podcasting business. He's seen the light. I don't want to say he's emulating me, but if you push me, I would say that. Mike Etor. Yeah, no, Mike is going to do something that he calls combat leadership and just get guys on and talk about, you know, aimed at, you know, corporals and sergeants and leading in combat. And so, so he's already started doing it. I don't think he's put them up yet. I don't think he's published anything yet. So we'll ask him about that. And then we'll do another installment. We've been kind of going through his book, Trust-Based Leadership. And so we'll do another installment of that. So, So good morning to you. As we speak, a little bit ago, the Attorney General and the Director of the FBI gave an update on the incident at Pensacola Naval Air Station. And they have linked the shooter to Al-Qaeda. So that is breaking news as we speak. So if there's anything that is new and earth-shattering relative to that, we will bring that to you. So good morning. Happy Monday to you. Hope you're having a good day. If you have any advice for me as a farmer, I'm all ears. So feel free. Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. That does not. And just dedicated to the Space Force, who I had a chance to go work with a little bit and meet a bunch of those people. They're got a tall order in front of them to get a new branch of the United States military up and running. And again, the more I focus on peer-to-peer conflict, I think the greater role the Space Force has in laying the conditions for success, and that is... when we go into the next conflict, do they have the ability to utilize digital, you know, technology bouncing off satellites, or do we neutralize that? And so Space Force is going to, I think, I'm trying not to overstate this. Their success will determine, I think, the number of casualties and the length of the conflict. Because if we can preserve what we have in space and destroy what somebody else has in space so that we can acquire them and they cannot acquire us, so that we can speak and they cannot, you know, using satellites and, you know, all the digital stuff, then we win, they lose. And I think people say, oh, it's not that simple. It might be. It might be, because the problem will be target acquisition, and if you can't use your satellites and you're not going to, you know, be able to acquire things as quickly, you're not going to be able to talk as easily. So, yeah, all that. So, dedicated to on a Monday to the Space Force.
Our flag comes to every You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for us to check the weather. Currently, it is cloudy and 60, just south of the nation's capital. The head of the FBI said the suspect surveilled his classroom and coordinated with Al-Qaeda prior to the shooting. Yeah, if we can... Hold on, this is the director of the FBI.
FBI has now unlocked that phone and has gotten critical information to show these terror ties.
This is actually Fox News.
From the New York Post. It's kind of fascinating because we were talking on the way in, Miranda, about the sort of uglier side of the FBI, the questions about their handling of the Michael Flynn matter.
Yeah, you know, FBI technicians able to unlock the guy's phone. Why, in the name of national security, don't you go to a company that's doing a ton of business in the United States and say, hey, listen, assholes, somebody better unlock this phone or we will shut your shit down in this country. What right does a terrorist have that murders essentially innocent people? What right does that person have, and why would they be protected by anybody's technology? I'm not exactly sure about that. Anyway, the weather, cloudy and 60 in Quantico. Now I'm pissed. Cloudy and 71 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny 72 in 29 Palms. Clouds and 65 at Camp Pendleton. Dark cloudy and 72 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy 78 in Okinawa. In Afghanistan, South Central Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 84 early in the evening there. And late in the afternoon in Iraq, it is 101 under sunny skies. But that's a dry 101. Currently here in Southern California at the home of All Marine Radio, it is foggy and 64, looking for a high of 72, 71 tomorrow, and 75 on Wednesday. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. More of this fine program coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure, We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Four minutes after the top of the hour on a Monday. We continue. I posted things that you see that are funny. I posted Senator Webb's op-ed piece about the future of the Marine Corps, and some of the things he'll write are humorous. And somebody wrote, I don't even know, the you know, it says essentially, you know, these hacks that cherry pick history in order to keep the Marine Corps living in yesterday, that are slaves to the status quo. I was like, oh, you mean hacks like Jim Webb? Former SECNAV, former senator? Like, guys like that? Yeah, exactly, man. Hacks like that. I mean, it's laughable. But, you know, it's like, what did Thoreau say? The unexamined life is not worth living. So, anyway, the other thing I'm anxious to continue to monitor are Florida and Georgia have opened and haven't exactly seen the world come to an end yet there. So what's going on? Florida is even opening doors to the return of vacation rentals. And again, I would say this about it, as we've talked about the coronavirus. I think Sweden got it right in terms of, you know, you have to do things that are sustainable. And I think that pretty much the rest of the world hit the panic button. Yeah, hit the panic button. And we hit pause on coronavirus while Sweden did not hit the pause button. They did things that were sustainable, and they certainly modified life in Sweden. And everybody else will come to Sweden's model. I believe that. Yeah. So I don't see, right, I don't see the gloom and doom that was supposed to happen. And will cases go up? Yeah, but they're going to go up. Again, if it's done right, they're going to go up in the part of the population that is going to see the COVID-19 virus go through it and continue to be healthy. So the key is to protect the people that are most vulnerable to it, which are seniors and people with high comorbidity factors. So if you do that, then you know, history and even the current data says that otherwise healthy people should be able to get through it. Okay, but you know, again, you cannot. I was just again pursuant to the show on Friday when, you know, California announces $54 billion shortfall. Yeah, that's with a B, and I'll venture to say it's worse than that, right? New York, $61 billion shortfall. Now, you know, a lot of that is because of decisions those governors made, and the federal government shouldn't bail those states out. Who's going to bail the cities out? Every city's got their own deficit, right? And it comes from sales tax. And so you want to live fat, you want to live without a reserve, you want to do all that, then you can raise your own taxes. And that's why that's what I don't understand about, you know, so if you look at pots of money, if I bail you out, right? If I, the federal government, bail you as a state out, what, I'm going to give you money and I'm going to be on the hook for it? You've got the ability to tax just like I do. And if you can raise money through bonds and things like that, you pay, you know, physician heal thyself. You do it. Why should I do it? I don't understand why the federal government would bail out government states. They have their own ability to tax. Now, I can see where, to the extent that we as the federal government implemented strategies and policies that impacted you, we'll pay for a piece of it. Okay, I think that's appropriate. But a lot of you governors have been unreasonable in what you've done to your states. You've sat on your states. And for instance, until we get all this testing, until all we get all these tracers, you can't open your business up. I think that's craziness. And again, I just, if Home Depot can be open, any retailer ought to be able to be open that takes the same exact precautions. Hell, I went into Big Five Sporting Goods. They don't even take the same precautions as Home Depot. There's no plexiglass. They probably didn't want to spend the money to put it in front of their clerk. So they took a table, a folding table, and stuck it in front of the cashier. So you have to stay, you know, you know, another 4 feet away. So you're probably 6 feet away handing money and credit cards back and forth. Yeah, Big Five didn't even put a partition in between you. And if you could, why couldn't if I was going to cut hair, and I had that partition that goes to like my lower part of my chest, okay? And if I have this in between me and you, and I have a pair of gloves on, why can't I cut your hair? It's the same interaction that you're having with the guy. So to me, there's no rational basis for this. And interesting article. I wish I could find it. In the Wall Street Journal, a story about Amazon. And it was just in over the weekend. And it said that this thing has completed, right? Coronavirus finishes the retail reckoning that Amazon started. So the by virtue of what's been allowed, the government has essentially put companies like JCPenney's into bankruptcy because we shut them down. And can you imagine all the commerce, the digital commerce going through Amazon now? Estimates that Jeff Bezos will be the first trillionaire in the history of the world. Now, that's in current terms. Question, if you adjust everybody else's wealth, is that in fact true? Would guys like Carnegie, would guys like Rockefeller, would guys like Ford, would they have been trillionaires prior, you know, in some prior time? I'd be curious to know that. But think about that. The article starts, written on May 14th. Amazon.com hurt many retailers. Coronavirus will finish some of them off. Even as malls and stores begin to reopen, the COVID-19 pandemic has taken a toll on an industry already battered by the shift to online shopping. More than 2 million retail jobs disappeared in April as many storefronts closed. The damage will be clear Friday when the U.S. government reports what is expected to be one of the worst months for retailers since World War II. Roughly 100,000 stores are expected to close over the next 5 years, more than triple the number that shut during the previous recession, as e-commerce jumps to a quarter of U.S. retail sales from 15% last year, according to UBS estimates. The turbocharged shift to e-commerce is expected to further depress profit margins and accelerate a shakeout in a country that already has too much brick-and-mortar space for an increasing digital world. Listen to this. Just this month, luxury retailer Neiman Marcus, apparel seller J. Crew, Stage Stores, an operator of rural department stores, have filed for bankruptcy protection. JCPenney filed, I believe, on Friday or Thursday. Collectively, they operate 2,500 stores and employed 120,000 people. Quote, if this isn't the retail apocalypse, I don't know what would be, said Sarah Wythe, the lead analyst for retail and restaurants at S&P Global Ratings. Mrs. Wythe estimates that there will be a 50% chance that 19 retailers tracked by Standard & Poor will default on their debt. Five retailers defaulted during the 2008 recession. The pain is being felt acutely by mall-based apparel chains and department stores that had limped along before the pandemic. So, anyway, interesting stuff, right? Interesting stuff. But the government has essentially picked winners and losers by, in my opinion, this arbitrary standard that says Home Depot can be open, but we don't think your business is essential, so you can't be. Well, wait a minute. I don't give a shit what you think. What happens if I do the same thing as Home Depot does? Then can I be open? No. What? Why? Oh, well, you're not essential. oh, liquor stores are essential. Sporting goods are essential. So to me, there's been so much arbitrary shit. And then, you know, the business landscape forever redefined by that. Yeah. So interesting. And then you can have guys like Elon Musk who looks at California and says, I'm opening my factories. And I don't give a shit what you think. And guess what California said? Okay. We'll find a way to paper that. Could you say the title of that article in the journal again? Yes. Coronavirus finishes the retail reckoning that Amazon started. That is the title of it. Let me just tell you, the Wall Street Journal is really good reading, I think. And I know it's expensive, but I read more opinion pieces. I read more news, business analysis, economic analysis. And again, I just don't see, here's my problem with all that I've seen. Okay. You had Chicken Little in New York going on TV and telling everybody, right, that we would be, you know, inundated. This was coming to our cities. He needed 30,000 ventilators. He used 6. The USS Mercy and the USS Comfort, one went to New York City and treated less than 200 people. The other one just left Los Angeles, I believe, over the weekend or late last week. It treated less than 100. What happened? And then we run people out of business by a standard that was slippery at best, by politicians who are terrified to have to look at the American people and say, hey, look, this is not going away anytime soon. We're going to do sustainable things that work in the long term. Other people might criticize us, but ultimately they will come to our model. So we're going to copy Sweden, and our schools are going to stay open, and we're going to get them back open again. We're going to get schools back to classrooms. We're going to get our economy functioning, but we're going to fence off the most vulnerable. And that's how we're going to do this shit. But it hadn't happened like that. All right. News headlines. Above the fold, stars and stripes. USS Theodore Roosevelt begins at-sea simulation nearly 2 months after the coronavirus outbreak sidelined the carrier. So what is at-sea simulation? You simulate all the things, right, that you do while you're underway. You simulate getting underway. Guys run to certain parts of the ships. They do certain things. You do certain things on the bridge, right? You simulate underway replenishment. You simulate flight ops. You know, you do all these things that get people in the right place and do it. It's pretty boring, actually. Pretty boring, but right, got to do that kind of stuff. So again, this is breaking news just from within the hour. But Stars and Stripes has thrown something up, so let me read it to you. The FBI declined comment ahead of the news conference. The contact between shooter Mohammed al-Shamrari and the al-Qaeda operative were discovered on the shooter's phone, according to the official, who was not authorized to discuss the case prior to the press conference. The Justice Department previously had asked Apple to help extract data from 2 iPhones that belonged to the gunman, including one that authorities say al-Shamrari damaged with a bullet after being confronted by law enforcement. It was not immediately clear how the FBI and the justice were able to ultimately access the phone. Let me tell you, man, if Apple said no, that's bullshit, man. That's bullshit. Yeah, that doesn't make me happy. So I want somebody to tell me what happened. U.S. forces in Korea will lift most anti-coronavirus restrictions for bases except in the Seoul area. Taliban car bomb kills 9 at an intelligence base in Ghazni. 9 dead, 40 wounded. This is something that, you know, in my experience in Afghanistan, they did not do a whole lot, was car bombs and suicide attacks. And when you saw it, it was somebody else doing it, because the Taliban did do that, because the Afghan people don't do it. It was somebody from outside the country that was doing it. But it seems to be more and more a tool that's used in Afghanistan. In Italy, the army is holding back loosening coronavirus restrictions as Italy contemplates moving ahead to some kind of normal lifestyle. And then there's a whole series of 75th anniversaries that were not able to be really observed. One we saw on TV a couple weeks ago, and that was the VE Day. You saw the president with the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs with, you know, some of the few surviving World War II veterans that are still around and ambulatory and able to get around on the mall in D.C. at the World War II Memorial. And but coming up will be the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Okinawa's and so they're scaling back plans for that ceremony as well. So that in the news today. My favorite story, Just the News. My favorite website. Top headline: tables turned on Mueller prosecutors. 10 actions ripe for scrutiny. So what are they? Yeah, so when you look at the statements that were released, why didn't any, you know, here's the question with the Mueller report. Did they just protect the FBI and this shit that was going on? Why did none of that come out in the Mueller report? And, you know, and the picture they paint of Bob Mueller was that he's around the band. He didn't really know what was going on. He was a figurehead and all that. Right? And remember, I mean, at the end, he walks out, he makes a statement, and he says, I'm done, I'm out, and he leaves. And he's never been interviewed, he's never answered any questions. So it leads you to believe that, you know, that Mueller was not all there in the head. So, yeah, there's 10 things. I won't go through all of them. But, I mean, honestly, it's amazing. And I have to tell you this. If when you look at what's gone on, if you don't use the C word, starts with a C, ends with a Y, sounds an awful lot like conspiracy. Yeah, but then what was it? When you have a group of people acting in concert, when you have the President of the United States holding a meeting about what they were doing, what do you call that if you don't call that a conspiracy? A bunch of people just working kind of in concert, but yeah, and I know they're having meetings, but not a conspiracy. Got it. I got it. All right, top stories from Marine Corps Times. The ACV, or Advanced Combat Vehicle, Marine Corps type, is going to get a 30-millimeter cannon. Yeah. B has also informed the Marine Corps that the MCT-30 version of the Marine Corps will be a lightweight version of the Stryker system and use the Mark 44 gun, which is common with U.S. Navy applications, instead of the XMB-813 gun used on the Stryker. 5 millimeters bigger than the LAV. The story about the Patriots leaving Saudi Arabia is a message from the President of the United States to the Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. And that is this. Your actions relative to flooding the world with oil are destroying the American energy sector. And we're an ally. So you've essentially gone to war with a significant part of the United States economy. And so, not so subtle message there, Stud. You want to be off all on your own and you want to do this kind of shit? Well, stand by. Stand by. So that story in the news a little bit. And then the top five stories in early bird, then we'll take a break. Alex Holling's going to join us. We're going to talk about SpaceX, about UFO. We'll get an update on his mom and whatever else Alex has going on. Number one, military faces another potential COVID toll, budget cuts. So here's the trickle down, right? We've unloaded all this money to help out all these people. And the Democrats want to do another $3 trillion of it. I mean, it's amazing. At some point, the clawback comes. Number two, U.S. on track to pull troops from Afghanistan despite the turmoil. And a big hurdle over the weekend, right? We talked about that. The president's going to get us out of there down to a small residual force, right? The residual force. And the residual force, as it's been described to me, is a term insurance policy that says, look, strategically, we need to have a presence in the region. We need to be able to make sure that Al-Qaeda and ISIS don't use Afghanistan again as a training place to launch attacks from. And we can do that with a residual footprint. And we can also do it to make sure that in extremis, we can aid the Afghans. Third story, 13 Theodore Roosevelt sailors retest positive for coronavirus. Yeah, so the Roosevelt's kind of a little petri dish, so it's kind of interesting to read what's going on with them. Five sailors from the embattled aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt, who had previously tested positive for the COVID-19 virus, retested positive this week, officials confirmed. Eight additional sailors tested positive again on Saturday. So that's in addition to the five. Sailors had previously returned to the ship, which had been sidelined in Guam as leadership works to get the crew free of the coronavirus and back to work. Like the rest of the crew who had come back on board, the five had been self-monitoring, following social distancing protocols before they tested positive. Quote, these five sailors developed influenza-like illness symptoms and did the right thing, reporting to medical for evaluation. The sailors were immediately removed from the ship, placed back in isolation. Their close contacts were mapped, and they are receiving required medical care. So, anyway, that's a big story as we continue to monitor life on the Theodore Roosevelt. Number four, SecDef keeps military stop movement orders in place after a review. Now, this is big because you have a lot of people that are supposed to move, right? Summer is military. Kids get out of school. People move. Schools get out, right, that have been in session. I mean, military schools that have been out, yada, yada, yada. So, SecDef, question is how long? The Department of Defense has yet to figure out how permanent change of station orders will be conducted this summer, when and if the stop movement order, which currently runs through June 30th, is lifted. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper recently reviewed the June 30 order but came to no decision. Look, if they can move your shit, if a company could come in and move your belongings, and you can get in your car with your family and go to someplace else and continue to practice social distancing, why would you not do that? Esper and other officials did not make a determination to modify or lift the order, and the order is still in place. At the same time, we haven't made a decision to extend it, Hoffman said. Hoffman's a spokesman. So, I'm not sure what to say about that. Like what? No decision? No decision is a decision. Make a decision. A little bit nervous at the Pentagon. Number five, want to be Space Command's new home? Here's the criteria. What's the criteria? The U.S. Air Force has officially reopened the competition for cities that want to become the home of the U.S. Space Command, with a self-nomination process that could allow dozens of localities to throw their hats in the ring. Interested parties must make their submissions by June 30th, and the Air Force plans to make a final decision in early 2021. Whatever Space Command lands will become home to roughly 1,400 military and civilian personnel, plus a likely number of well-paid contractors and industry representatives. There are three minimum criteria. We'll ask Alex about that. The location must be within one of the 150 largest metropolitan statistical areas in the United States, based on the 2019 estimates of the Census Bureau. So that thins the herd right there. The location must be within 25 miles or less of a military base, further thinning the herd. The location must have a livability index of at least 50 points out of 100, based on statistics kept by ARPS Public Policy Institute. Any area that meets that is able to submit an application. And so here's how the scoring will be done, right? Mission-related factors, such as available qualified workforce, proximity to mutually supporting space entities, Florida, Texas, that's 40 points. Infrastructure capacity, 30 points. Everything from parking spaces to communication bandwidth to security requirements, 30 points. Third, community support, essentially, this is how judges will rank local communities in terms of school quality, cost of living, access to military support programs. Texas, Florida, right? Cost to the Department of the Air Force, right? 15 points. How much will this cost to set up? One-time infrastructure costs, construction costs, yada, yada, yada. Let's see a leaked 2019 memo. A potential base lists four candidates in Colorado: Buckley, Cheyenne Mountain, Peterson, which is Air Force Academy, and Shriver, as well as the Army's Redstone Arsenal in Alabama, Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. Whoa. Yeah, Vandenberg, living right on the coast, Santa Barbara, Ventura area. Circle that one. Not the bugs and the humidity of South Florida. Screw that. All right. We're going to take a break. Yeah, I vote for Vandenberg. Space Command. Vandenberg. Anyway, I'm looking at a picture, and there's a Marine general on stage in his office at a ceremony for the Space Command. Who is that guy? Anyway, all right, we'll take a break. Alex Hollings joins me next on a Monday. Don't touch that dial.